the Chicago Motor Club presents the Wayside Theater. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Your host, the Chicago Motor Club, welcomes you to the Wayside Theater. Each Sunday at this hour, thousands of playgoers listen in on this half hour of dramatic entertainment. You'll all agree a good play gives variety and change to your days. It's like taking a trip into another land. Perhaps there are some of you folks in the Wayside Theater audience who are planning on taking a real trip by motor, train, or plane. If that's the case, you'll be interested in the remarkable travel service enjoyed by Chicago Motor Club members. The club's touring and foreign travel bureau arranges every detail of even the most complicated itineraries. A motor trip in this country or abroad, a long or short winter cruise, or any and all journeys by bus, train, plane, or ocean liner. But this is only one of 26 club services and benefits fully explained in an absorbing free booklet. It's yours without obligation if you just write to the Chicago Motor Club or call Franklin 1818. Tonight's play, entitled Food for Thought, was written by Mildred Hark and Noel McQueen. And now, the Chicago Motor Club's Wayside Theater presents the first act of Food for Thought.
Does the breakfast appear to be satisfactory, madam?
Yes, Vincent. You may tell the master it's ready.
I think I heard him coming, madam.
Oh, good morning, my dear. Good morning. Good morning, Vincent.
Good morning, Mr. Blackburn.
Well, what have we for breakfast this morning?
Diet number 89, sir, for cool, crisp day.
Well, well, that's fine, fine. Looks mighty healthy, too.
It is, sir. Will that be all, madam?
Yes, you may go, Vincent.
Very good, madam.
Well, get started, Ella. I'm hungry.
Oh, yes, dear. Now, here's your juice and your raw carrot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got something very special this morning. A bowl of fresh parsley.
Good for me, huh?
Oh, of course, John. Oh, you look so wonderful since you've been on your diet. Eating correctly has made a new man of you.
Oh, sure, sure. I tell you, Ella, I feel just great. Such energy. When you started going to those diet classes, you certainly changed our lives.
Yes, John. We're dedicated to health now, aren't we?
I'll say we are. And do you remember the way we used to eat?
Yes.
Oh, it was terrible. And I don't know how I ever did any work at the office. Oh, pour me a glass of water, please.
No, not till you're finished, dear. Mustn't mix things.
Oh, yes, I mixed extra work for my stomach, doesn't it?
Yes.
Speaking of the office reminds me, the head of my bookkeeping department is leaving.
Oh, dear. Have you got someone else?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm thinking of promoting young Herbert Davis.
Herbert Davis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. He's the one that got married 3 months ago.
Yes, yes. Good man, too. I intend to push him right up.
Now, are you sure that he has a happy home, John? Now, have you met his wife?
No. I suppose I should.
Oh, by all means, John. A wife is so important. Now, look at me. A wife can help or hinder a man in his work even just by the way she feeds him.
Herbert, eat another pancake.
But, Amy, I've had sufficient.
No, dear, you've got to eat. Here's three more. And there, syrup and butter. And, darling, whatever is the matter, you've hardly touched your fried potatoes.
Amy, my dear, I'm gaining weight.
Of course you are, dear, I want you to. I'll bet you were never fed like this before I married you.
No, I wasn't, Amy.
And Mother always says, you've got to feed a man to keep him happy.
Well, Amy, I'm sorry, but I really don't think I can eat anymore. We had such a big dinner last night. The creamed chicken, those fritters, and the cake you baked.
Now, darling, you have to keep up your strength.
But, Amy, I'm a bookkeeper. I sit all day at the office.
Oh, but, darling, you use your brain counting up all those figures. You've just got to eat so you can do your work well.
Six is 36. Oh, dear me, 4 cents off. Oh, why am I sleeping? It's only 10 o'clock. Oh, just got to wake up. Oh, if I could just find that 4 cents.
Did you tell Herbert that I want to see him, Miss Ellis?
I rang his phone a few minutes ago, Mr. Blackburn, but he didn't answer. Shall I try him again?
No, never mind. I'll go see him myself. If anyone wants to see me, say I'm in conference.
Yes, Miss Blackburn.
Well, Herbert, my boy. Herbert! Herbert!
Is it time to get up, Amy?
Time to get up? Herbert, what's the meaning of this?
Oh, Mr. Blackburn, I'm sorry. I must have dozed off.
Very idea. An employee of mine sleeping in the middle of the morning.
Yes, I realize it's a very serious matter, Mr. Blackburn. I don't know how it could have happened. All of a sudden, my head felt heavy.
Are you sick?
No.
Something must be the matter. You look sluggish. Maybe you aren't eating right.
Oh, I eat very well.
Ah, that's it. Some people eat too much.
Yes, they do, don't they?
Stop themselves. Now look at me. I'm wide awake. You know what I had for breakfast? A carrot and a bowl of parsley.
Yes, I know how highly you think of the rudimentary foods, sir.
Well, I want to impress on you, Herbert. Vitamins are important to a man's life.
Yes, sir, I know, but this matter of my going to sleep, Mr. Blackburn, it won't happen again.
No, I kind of suppose it will. This is the first time I've had anything to complain about, so let's just forget it,
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Blackburn.
Now then, what I came in here for. Herbert, you may be in line for promotion.
Oh, you mean promotion up?
Of course up. Brown's leaving, and I'm thinking of giving you his job.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And as long as I'm thinking about pushing you ahead, Herbert, I thought we might as well get better acquainted.
Why, yes.
What I mean is, I'd like to visit your little home sometime soon, and bring my wife.
Well, Amy and I would be honored, Mr. Blackburn. Why, possibly tonight, if I were just to telephone
you. Oh, sure, we're free tonight. Go ahead, call up the little lady.
All right. Give me Dresden 0141, please. Would about 8:30 be all right, Mr. Blackburn?
Oh, sure, that's fine.
Yeah. Hello, Amy. This is Herbert. Mr. Blackburn has something he wants to talk over with me, and he thought perhaps he and Mr. Blackburn, Mrs. Blackburn, could come out this evening. Yes, about 8:30. Well, no, I don't think they could come any earlier, Amy. But Mr. Blackburn's very busy, Amy. He wouldn't have time to talk to you now.
Yeah, what's that? She wants to talk to me? Here, let me have that phone, Herbert. Hello, Mrs. Davis. Oh, yes, of course I've got time. What's that? Why, sure, of course we'd like to come to dinner.
But...
What's that, Herbert?
Nothing.
Yes, we'll be there, Mrs. Davis. Now, don't go to any trouble, though. Mrs. Blackburn and I are just simple people. You give us some plain raw vegetables and an apple apiece, and we'll be happy. Well, yes, goodbye, Mrs. Davis. Herbert, she's going out right now to the store. Says she knows just the sort of a dinner we'll like.
There you are, Mrs. Davis. 5 pounds of white potatoes and 4 pounds of sweet potatoes. Anything else?
Oh, my, yes. I want lots of things today. Let me check my list. Flour, baking powder, potatoes, 2 kinds. Oh, I've hardly started.
Special dinner tonight?
Oh, I should say. You know, Herbert, that's my husband. Well, his boss and wife are coming, and I think it may have something to do with Herbert's being promoted.
You don't mean it. That's fine.
And I talked to Mr. Blackburn on the phone. Mr. Blackburn's the boss, and he sounds so nice and such a funny man. Said all he wanted for dinner was raw vegetables and an apple.
Well, that's good. Some of these big shots like to kid, all right.
Oh, but he didn't fool me for a minute, because I know how men like to eat.
Sure. Way to a man's heart's through his stomach, as the fella said.
That's right. And I'm going to see that the boss is pleased. I'm going to cook the biggest dinner we've ever had.
The full band of Food for Thought comes to a close. Have you ever been in a room full of people when suddenly you're called to the telephone? No matter how hard everyone tries not to overhear what you're saying, the conversation sags in the middle and every word is heard all over the room. Well, tonight, we're presenting two telephone conversations, and you needn't feel embarrassed about eavesdropping, because the Chicago Motor Club wants you to hear every word.
Hello. Hello, dear. This is Tom. Yes, yes, I know I'm 2 hours late, but I've been trying to scrape up enough bail to get out of here. Bail, not jail. Well, not yet, anyway. No, don't get excited. I've been picked up by a traffic policeman. Of course I didn't do it on purpose. But I need $50 and quick. How long will it take you to get down here? What? The boss is already there for dinner? Well, I'm here and I want to be there, so hurry.
All that time and trouble and inconvenience when he might just as well have been like the Chicago Motor Club member we'll listen to now.
Hello? Hello, dear. I'll be a few minutes late. I'm sorry, but I was picked up by a traffic policeman. I had to go to the police station. My Chicago Motor Club membership card took care of my bond, and I'll be on my way again in 2 minutes.
That Chicago Motor Club membership card is a worldwide bail bond, friends. Good for any amount up to $500. It's the club's offer to guarantee a member's appearance in court later on. Chicago Motor Club members are the most careful drivers in the world because the club constantly stresses the importance of safety and protection for motorists and pedestrians alike. But even the most careful driver might break a minor traffic rule, and that valuable little membership card saves time, trouble, and inconvenience. The member merely displays his card and goes right on his way, driving more carefully, you may be sure. The club's free booklet explains all about it, and we're going to see that you ask for it this evening. Between acts 2 and 3 of tonight's play, we'll have a musical intermission instead of our regular announcement. You'll have ample time to write the club or call Franklin 1818 and ask for that interesting free booklet entitled Spend Less to Own and Drive Your Car. The second act of Food for Thought.
Oh, my goodness, they're here, and I haven't changed my dress. Well, everything else is ready.
I'm coming.
Hello, Amy. Mr. Blackburn let me off a little early.
Oh, I was afraid they'd come early, too.
No, they'll be here in half an hour.
Oh, that's fine, then. Oh, I'm so excited, Herbert, and I've got the most wonderful dinner I've been cooking all afternoon.
But, Amy, Mr. Blackburn said he didn't want
much. Herbert, you didn't go and believe that. Come on into the kitchen. I'll show you what...
Amy, what's that I smell?
Oh, it might be anything. Sweet potato pie, or black walnut cake, or the stuffing in the roast pork.
But, Amy...
Look, Herbert, cheese dumplings. They'll melt in Mr. Blackburn's mouth.
But, Amy, Mr. and Mrs. Blackburn don't like heavy food.
Herbert Davis, you know my dumplings are always as light as air.
Oh, yes, of course, my dear, but you never should have cooked all these rich things. Why, the kitchen is literally piled up with food.
Naturally. I've been working all afternoon just so your boss would be happy.
But he won't be. I've been trying to tell you. He and his wife eat only vitamins and greens and simple things.
Well, then they'll appreciate a good square meal, dear.
Amy, now, please. Now, listen to me, darling. Mr. Blackburn's thinking of giving me a promotion. Up. You just can't put this orgy on the table.
Orgy? Oh, Herbert, you... You've never spoken to me like this before.
Oh, please, Amy, don't cry now. We haven't time. I'll tell you. I'll help you. We'll get something else ready.
Something else?
Yes, we'll grate up a cabbage or something.
A cabbage? Oh.
Why, yes. A cabbage would be very nice, and I can run out and get some grapes to go with it.
Oh, Herbert Davis... If you think you're going to put any such things on my table,
Amy, I'm very nervous. Now, let's not argue.
Argue?
I'm not arguing. I just won't have it, that's all. I won't have it.
Amy, we've been married 3 months now, and I suppose there comes a time in every man's life when he must put his foot down. Now, I am the master of this household, and for dinner, we're going to have cabbage and grapes.
All right, then have it. But I won't be here to see it.
Amy, where are you going?
Out.
But you can't do that. What will Mr. Blackburn think?
I don't care what he thinks. Stop following me around, Herbert.
Amy, take your hat off.
No. And you've only yourself to thank. It's all your fault being so unreasonable. I cook a beautiful dinner.
I'm not denying that you're an excellent cook, Amy, but, well, I have been meaning to tell you, I haven't felt really well since we got married.
What?
No. You stuffed me and stuffed me like a, well, I don't like to say this, but like a pig. Every time I get up from the table, I feel as though I'm ready for market.
Ready for market? Well, I've heard enough. I've done everything to make you happy, and now you turn on me like this.
I'm not turning on you, Amy. It's my stomach. Oh, what are you getting that suitcase out for?
I'm leaving you, and not just for an hour, Herbert. For good. I'm going home to Mother.
Amy, please.
I'll just take the few things I brought with me, Herbert. Nothing that you gave me.
But what'll I tell Mr. and Mrs. Blackburn?
Tell them not to come. I don't care.
Oh, dear. Yes, I suppose I could do that. Oh, there. Hello. Is this Mr. Blackburn's residence? Or may I speak to him? Oh, dear. He's already gone? Oh, my.
Well, did you get them?
Yes. No. They're on their way. They'll be here in a few minutes. Oh, Amy, you can't leave me.
I can, and I'm going to.
But don't you see, Amy, Mr. Blackburn is a great believer in the happy home. I can't tell him we've been quarreling, that I haven't any wife.
You'll have to tell him sooner or later, Herbert, because from now on you haven't. I'm going, and I'm not coming back.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Hey, where is the little lady? What's the matter, Herbert?
Well, something terrible has happened, Mr. Blackburn.
Huh?
Amy is... She's ill.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes, and it all happened so suddenly. She had dinner started, but now we'll have to go out somewhere.
Oh, but should we leave her? Now, maybe I can do something.
Oh, no, there wouldn't be anything.
Maybe the poor dear hasn't been eating right.
Probably too much starch.
Yes. Now, is this the bedroom?
No, please, Mrs. Blackburn.
Why, Mr. Davis... Oh, there's nobody in here.
What?
Oh, no. No, you see, Amy, I had to send her to the hospital.
Why, that's awful. Well, shouldn't you be with her? Oh, come along. We'll take you right over there.
No, that won't be necessary. The doctor says it's really nothing serious.
Oh, dear. Someone at the door.
Herbert, I forgot my cookbook.
But, Amy... Oh, dear.
Herbert, it's a cookbook Mother gave me, and I've got to have it.
Who's this?
Oh, it's just... Well...
Herbert, will you answer me? Who is this woman?
Well, it's... Mr. Blackburn, I might as well tell you. It's my wife.
What? But she isn't ill.
No, she isn't. You see, we quarreled, Mr. Blackburn. She's leaving me, and I had to tell you something.
Well, of all things, he lied to us, John.
Better let me do the talking. Herbert, I came here intending to give you a promotion.
Yes, sir, but I don't expect I'll get it now.
Not only that, you're fired.
The second act of Food for Thought comes to a close. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is where you yourselves take part in tonight's program. That is, if you want to know why the Chicago Motor Club's 78,000 member families actually spend less to own and drive their cars. This is your chance to learn all those money-saving facts merely by asking for the club's free booklet. We're going to have a 2-minute musical intermission right now. While our orchestra plays, you write down your name and address, a penny postcard will do, and have it all ready to mail to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or its nearest branch office. Or better still, just pick up the phone and call Franklin 1818. Special night operators are waiting for your call, and you won't miss any of the play. We're all set to go, friends. A musical intermission while you take quick advantage of this unusual opportunity to write the club or call Franklin 1818 and ask for your valuable free booklet. Third act of Food for Thought.
Well, Mr. Blackburn, if I'm fired, I suppose I'm discharged. But if you'll just let me explain...
Oh, no. I don't want to hear another word out of you, Herbert. I said you were through and I meant it. Where to put my hat?
John, you mustn't get so excited.
Well, who wouldn't get excited?
Well, it's bad for your digestion.
My digestion? That's good. Do you realize I haven't had anything to eat?
Well, of course, dear. You're hungry.
Well, I'm sorry we haven't mowed the lawn lately. Herbert's been telling me how you go in for greens.
Oh, Amy, please.
You're making fun of me behind my back, will you?
No, Amy doesn't understand.
I should say she doesn't. Young woman, I eat what's good for me.
Oh, dear, if we only had a stick of celery or a raw carrot, it would quiet his nerves.
Well, that's what I need.
Amy, have we any?
Yes, in the icebox.
Well, shall I get you a raw carrot, Mr. Blackburn?
No, don't need any help from you.
Now, John, it'll do you good. Here, this must be the kitchen. Oh, my, just look.
Yeah, what? Pies, cakes.
Oh.
What is all this?
It was to have been your dinner, Mr. Blackburn.
My dinner? Why, I wouldn't eat such food. But look at her. Dumplings. And pork roast.
With stuffing, John.
Oh, it's awful.
Yes, no wonder a man who eats like this doesn't have a happy home. He'd never be a success in life.
You see, Amy, they wouldn't have liked your dinner.
Well, anyway, here's my cookbook, and I'm leaving.
Now, Amy, wait now. Just a minute.
Let go of me, Herbert. I'm going.
But, Amy, you can't go now. I've lost everything else.
I'm sorry I spoiled your story, Herbert.
I'm not thinking of that. I realize now that nothing matters except you.
No, Herbert, you've hurt me too deeply.
But, Amy, please.
There they go quarreling again. Etta, find me that carrot.
Yes, dear. Well, here it is. Here.
Yeah, thanks. You know what, there's enough roast here to feed an army.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Mm. There, look at the juice oozing out from between the meat and the stuffing. Mm. Thick brown color.
Mm.
Sugar, Etta, sugar. That's fattening.
Yes, dear, but it isn't sugar.
But of course it is.
It's nothing of the kind. That brown color is made by adding Worcestershire sauce.
And now I guess I ought to know what that is. My mother always flavored her meats with the brown sugar and vinegar.
But this is like my mother's, John, Worcestershire. You can smell it.
Well, I... Give me that knife, Anna. Get a little of this crusty part. Yeah, that's just like candy. Tastes like candy, too. Try a piece.
And, John, be careful with that knife. Well, shall I take it in my finger?
Yes, of course. Taste it. Brown sugar.
No, Josh, what's share?
We'll decide this. Where's that wife of Herbert's? Herbert! Herbert! Mrs. Davis!
Now that she's gone.
Yes, Mr. Blackburn, my wife is leaving. Nothing I can say.
Wait. Don't go out of that door, Mrs. Davis. Come here in a minute.
Why, Amy, they're eating your roast.
What? Oh, Mr. Blackburn, are you enjoying it? Can I get you a plate?
No. I want to settle an argument. Did you put brown sugar in this roast?
Why, yes.
Yeah, Sierra?
Brown sugar and vinegar and Worcestershire sauce. Mm-hmm.
See, John, I said I could smell it.
Well, it seems we're both right now.
Of course you are. It's pretty hard to tell what's in things by just looking at them, Mr. Blackburn. Mm. Now, you take these cheese dumplings. You'd never guess there was cheese in them until you tasted them. Try one.
But, Amy, Mr. Blackburn...
No, wait. Yep, it's cheese all right.
And you take this cake here. You'd never think it was full of black walnuts.
Walnuts, eh?
Yes. See?
Mm-hmm.
There. Taste that, Mr. Blackburn.
Mr. Blackburn, if you're not going to eat that raw carrot you're holding, why, I'd like it very much.
Hmm? Oh, sure. Take it, my boy. Take it. Mrs. Davis, sir, what sort of pie is this?
John, don't touch that pie. Now, whatever's come over you? You've been tasting all those rich things.
Yes, so I have. And by George, they taste good to me, too.
Why, Mr. Blackburn, and after all you've said...
Yes, I know, but seeing this food and smelling it, it's made me realize I've been craving it for months.
What?
Yes. I'm sick and tired of eating rabbit food, Ada. I'm fed up on being starved to death.
Why, John, and to think you'd turn on me.
Turning on you, Ada.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid you are, Mr. Blackburn. Herbert turned on me, too.
No, I didn't, Amy. It's just that I'm tired of eating too much. That's what we quarreled over, Mr. Blackburn.
Oh, so that was the trouble, huh?
My dear, were you really feeding him like this every day?
Well, it's all good food.
I'll say it is, Mrs. Davis.
John, that's your third piece of cake.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really very rich, Mr. Blackburn.
Well, what of it?
John, if you eat one more mouthful...
Mm-hmm.
There you did. Now I'm going to leave.
Oh, dear. I suppose I may as well go, too.
But, Amy...
No, stop this nonsense. You know what? Women are funny, Herbert. Man's got to tell them off once in a while.
John, I'll have you know.
Sit down, Ada. Right. See, Herbert, got to take a firm hand.
Yes. Sit down, Amy.
No, Herbert, I...
Sit down. She did.
That's the stuff, Herbert. That's the stuff.
Amy, listen to me.
Please don't look at me like that, Herbert. I thought I was doing right, serving you all those rich things.
My dear, it looks as though we've both been wrong. I tell you, if you'll loan me your cookbook, I'll give you my book on diet.
Well, that'll be fine.
Amy, what's the matter? You're so white. She's going to faint.
Hmm?
No, I'm not, Herbert. It's just that... Well, I guess I'm hungry.
Why, of course you are, poor darling. Here, have a bite of my carrot.
Thank you, Herbert.
You know, John, I'm beginning to, that cake does look rather nice.
Go ahead, take a piece.
Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't had so much fun in 20 years. Such a cozy little home.
Yeah, but we may have to sell it now that I'm out of work.
Oh, nonsense. Herbert isn't fired anymore, is he, John?
Hmm? Oh, no. Of course not. Starting tomorrow, you're head of the bookkeeping department. That is, if you've still got a wife and a happy home.
Oh, well, then it's kind of up to you, Amy.
I'm not going to leave you, Herbert. And from now on, you're going to have a happy home.
Amy, darling.
Yes, you know what Mama said. Feed a man to keep him happy. Well, I'm not going to anymore.
But, Amy, we've got to eat something.
But I've got a new slogan now, darling. The way to a man's heart may be through his stomach, but you've got to watch the traffic lights.
The Wayside Theater production of Food for Thought comes to a close. Be sure and be with us again next Sunday evening at this same hour, ladies and gentlemen, when the Chicago Motor Club's Wayside Theater presents another Play of the Week. Meanwhile, you'll have plenty of time to read and enjoy the club's valuable booklet entitled Spend Less to Own and Drive Your Car. That's a mighty intriguing title, you'll agree. And that interesting booklet, with all its important money-saving information, is yours merely for the asking. Just send your name and address to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or its nearest branch office. Or step to the phone right now and call Franklin 1818. By the way, friends, don't forget the Chicago Motor Club's weekly broadcast of the Parker Family, tomorrow evening, WBBM at 6:30. Cast of tonight's play, you heard our popular stars Olin Soule in the part of Herbert and Patricia Dunlap playing Amy. They were supported by Ethel Owen, Bill Boucher, and Herb Butterfield. Heard on tonight's program were the musical selections Let's Have Another Cup of Coffee from Face the Music, This Can't Be Love from Boys from Syracuse, Following the Sun Around, and If You're in Love, You'll Waltz from Rio Rita. This is Vern Smith speaking for the Chicago Motor Club,
WBBM Chicago.